ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ಮಹಾಗಣಾಧಿಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ವಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಚಾಂಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಸೂಕ್ತಮ್ಸ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಬಿಗಿನ್ ಅವರ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಲಂಡನ್. ನೌ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ಲೈನ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್, ಆಲ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಪದ್ಧತಿ ಹಸ್ ಗಾನ್ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ನೌ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಗೋ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಎನಿವೇ, ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್, even though I've taught before Mundaka Upanishad, now my focus is also on making you all memorize the mantras of Upanishads. That only if you memorize the mantras, you can remember the words of the mantras, then you can remember the unfoldment of the mantras also. So we have seen up to now 9th mantra. So until 9th mantra, we'll read once, because we are also starting after break. Just quickly read from the beginning. ಮುಂಡಕೋಪನಿಷತ್. ಓಂ ನೌ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಮುಂಡಕೆ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಖಂಡ. ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮುಂಡಕಂ. ಓಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮದೇವಾನಾಂ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಸಂಬಭೂವ ವಿಶ್ವಸ್ಯ ಕರ್ತ ಭುವನಸ್ಯ ಗೋಪ್ತ ಸಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಾಂ ಅಥರ್ವಾಯ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠ ಪುತ್ರಾಯ ಪ್ರಾಹ ಅಥರ್ವಣೇಯಾಂ ಪ್ರವದೇತ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಅಥರ್ವಾತಂ ಪುರೋವಾಚಾಂಗಿರೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ಸ ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜಾಯ ಸತ್ಯವಹಾಯ ಪ್ರಾಹ ಭಾರದ್ವಾಜೋಂಗಿರಸೇ ಪರಾವರಾಂ ಶೌನಕೋ ಹವೈ ಮಹಾಶಾಲಃ ಅಂಗಿರಸಂ ವಿಧಿವದುಪಸನ್ನಃ ಪಪ್ರಚ್ಛ ಕಸ್ಮಿನ್ನ ಭಗವೋ ವಿಜ್ಞಾತೇ ಸರ್ವಮಿದಂ ವಿಜ್ಞಾತಂ ಭವತೀತಿ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಸಹೋವಾಚ ವೇ ವಿದ್ಯೇ ವೇದಿತವ್ಯೇ ಇತಿಹಸ್ಮ ಯದ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದೋ ವದಂತಿ ಪರಾಚೈವಾಪರಾಚ ತತ್ರಾಪರಾ ಋಗ್ವೇದೋ ಯಜುರ್ವೇದಃ ಸಾಮವೇದೋಥರ್ವವೇದಃ ಶಿಕ್ಷಾಕಲ್ಪೋ ವ್ಯಾಕರಣಂ ನಿರುಕ್ತಂ ಛಂದೋ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷಮಿತಿ ಅಥ ಪರಾಯಯಾ ತದಕ್ಷರಮಧಿಗಮ್ಯತೇ ಯತ್ತದದ್ರೇ ಶ್ಯಮಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯಮಗೋತ್ರಮವರ್ಣಂ ಅಚಕ್ಷುಶ್ರೋತ್ರಂ ತದಪಾಣಿಪಾದಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ವಿಭುಂ ಸರ್ವಗತಂ ಸುಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಂ ತದವ್ಯಯಂ ಯದ್ಭೂತಯೋನಿಂ ಪರಿಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಧೀರಾಃ ಯಥೋರ್ನನಾಭಿಸೃಜತೇ ಗೃಹ್ಣತೇ ಚ ಯಥಾ ಪೃಥಿವ್ಯಾಮೋಷಧಯ ಸಂಭವಂತಿ ಯಥಾ ಸತಃ ಪುರುಷಾತ್ ಕೇಶಲೋಮಾನಿ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಾತ್ ಸಂಭವತೀಹ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ತಪಸಾ ಚೀಯತೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಥೋ ನಮಭಿಜಾಯತೆ ಅನ್ನಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಮನಃ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಕರ್ಮಸು ಚಾಮೃತಂ. ಯು ಸೀನ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ, ಟು ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರ, ಅದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮಂಟಕ. ಯಸ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಸರ್ವವಿತ್ ಯಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯಂ ತಪಃ ತಸ್ಮಾದೇತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಸ್ಮಾದೇತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಾಮರೂಪಮನ್ನಂ ಚ ಜಾಯತೆ. ಯಸ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಸರ್ವವಿತ್ ಯಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯಂ ತಪಃ ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಏತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಾಮರೂಪಮನ್ನಂ ಚ ಜಾಯತೆ. ತಸ್ಮಾದೇತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಾಮರೂಪಮನ್ನಂ ಚ ಜಾಯತೆ. ಯಸ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಸರ್ವವಿತ್ ಯಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯಂ ತಪಃ ತಸ್ಮಾದೇತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ನಾಮರೂಪಮನ್ನಂ ಚ ಜಾಯತೆ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮುಂಡಕ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ದ 9 ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟೆಡ್ ದಿ 8 ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ದಿ 9th ಮಂತ್ರ. Already what we have understood is that everything has come into existence from Brahma. The Karana Karya Prakriya was presented. Which means, the Karana Karya Prakriya means the method of helping us arrive at the reality. One of the methods of arriving at the reality is Karana Karya Prakriya. And this method, Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. And Jagat is presented as the Karyam, cause and effect. If Brahman is Jagat Karanam, Jagat is the Karyam. And what is the relationship between Jagat and the Brahman? Karana Karya Sambandha, we say. But still, in fact, this Karana Karya Prakriya is used not to establish Brahman as the cause. not to establish the creation also, not to establish the universe as the cause. We have to be very, very careful. Whenever we say the Karanakarya Prakriya is used, means they always Brahman is presented as the cause, then as a Srishti is discussed, how the whole everything has come into existence from Brahman. And the Srishti discussed in different Upanishads differ from each Upanishad. The creation of the universe discussed in Taittiriyam is different from Mundaka, Mundaka is different from other Upanishads. Therefore, in the subject matter, the Srishti, the topic of creation is not the same in all the Upanishads. Why? Because the creation is not given importance. Why creation is not given importance? Even though creation is discussed, cosmology is presented. So whenever creation is analyzed, the analysis of creation is not for establishing the creation, but to help us arrive at the reality. Once you arrive at the reality, an important fact to understand is that creation is analyzed, creation is discussed, topic of creation is discussed, just to state the fact that there is no creation at all. Creation is discussed to say that there is no creation at all. If there is no creation at all, then what is there? What is only manifestation. Manifestation means what? Anything which is available for experience and enjoyment is something which is manifest, which is already there. Nothing is created newly. What was already there unmanifest, what was not available for experience and enjoyment alone, becomes manifest, becomes available for enjoyment and experience. Again, what is available for enjoyment and experience, again will become unmanifest. There will be a time it will not be available for experience and enjoyment. And which means, for this experiences to be available, for this objects of experience, and experiences to be there at one point, again to not to be there, again to come back, there must be a substratum. There must be a source. There must be a ground. That means an existence. And the source of this manifestation alone is said to be the only reality. There's a second thing other than this source of manifestation. So the whole universe, the Srishti, whenever Srishti is discussed, it is made very clear. The creation is mithya. The creation is mithya means the object, the world of the objective universe which is available for experience is mithya. And what is only satyam? It is the Brahman from which the universe is said to have come into existence alone is satyam. It means in this concluding verse, it is stated that there is, we have seen the previous verse. In this verse, it is said, Sarvajnaha. Let us understand. Already we have understood Bhagavan, the absolute reality is of the nature of consciousness or pure knowledge. And this knowledge is implied by the term Brahma. And this consciousness, Brahman, manifest alone, is given the qualification of Ishwaraha. What is Ishwaraha? Ishwaraha is nothing but the total knowledge. The manifestation of totality of knowledge is, totality of consciousness is Ishwaraha. Which means, we already understood, if the whole universe has come into existence from Brahma, without Brahman, the universe cannot exist at all. Means, it is the Brahman which alone lends existence to the whole Jagat. Just as water lends existence to the ocean, gold lends existence to the ornaments, light lends existence to the opaque things, here Brahman, the consciousness alone, lends existence to the entire world of objects, including time and space. They say universe, we have to include time and space. So time and space and all the innumerable countless forms obtaining within this time and space, all the elements and the elementals, living and non-living things, mobile and immobile beings, their actions, the results of actions, the laws which govern results of actions and all patterns of experience of patterns of opposites, all experiences, all of them which constitute the universe and the entire universe doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. And the reality manifest alone is said to be Ishwaraha. And who is Ishwaraha? Therefore, if everything has come into existence from Brahma, means everything is manifestation of Ishvara. Everything is manifestation of knowledge, means everything is manifestation of Ishvara. Why? Because manifestation of the total knowledge alone is said to be Ishvara. And then Ishvara must be, if Ishvara is represented as the creator of the universe, Ishvara is not the creator, but the creator of the universe is Ishvara. Which means the source of knowledge is Ishvara. So, creation presupposes knowledge. Without any action presupposes knowledge. No action can be done without knowledge preceding it. So any action presupposes knowledge. Here also, the creation also presupposes knowledge. And all knowledge required for the creation of everything is Ishvara here. Therefore it is said, yas sarvajnaha. Yas sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha, sarvam janati iti sarvajnaha. Sarvam janati yaha saha sarvajnaha. The one who knows everything is sarvajnaha. That the jna is the root. Sarvam janati iti sarvajnaha. One who knows everything is the all-knowing, omniscient. Sarvajnaha means all-knowing. And sarvavit also. Sarvavit also. Sarvam veti iti sarvavit. Sarvavit also means all-knowing. Sarvajnaha also means all-knowing. Why two words are used which mean the same? Sarvajnaha means all-knowing. Sarvavit also means all-knowing. Okay, it is Ishvara. Ishvara, Ishvara is sarvavit. Ishvara is sarvajnaha. Who is Ishvara? All knowledge. All knowledge is Sarveshvara. All knowledge means what? The total manifestation of knowledge is Ishvara. So Ishvara involves the manifesting medium and the manifest knowledge. Together constitute what? Ishvara. So the entirety of matter is manifesting medium. And we can say consciousness is the source of manifestation. And the manifest knowledge is what? Ishvara. So here in this mantra, Upanishad presents the creation. Upanishad presents the creation, mentioning different stages. Already Upanishad discussed. So Upanishad Upanishad reconfirms the fact. What is the fact Upanishad reconfirms? That Bhagavan is the Jagat Karanam. Ishvaraha is the Jagat Karanam. The cause of the entire cosmos is Ishvaraha Bhagavan. Therefore, everything in this world is, the entire universe is what? Karyam. Jagat Karanam Ishvara. Jagat is Karyam. And it is that Bhagavan Ishvara, the Lord alone is said to be, Lord alone is glorified here as Sarvajnaha and Sarvavit. Why the word Sarvajnaha and Sarvavit are used again? To glorify Bhagavan, because without having prior knowledge, no one can create anything newly. So creation presupposes knowledge. It is not possible for anyone to make something, to do something without already having the knowledge of how to do it. Therefore, it is not mere knowledge that one needs to have before doing something. One must have appropriate skill also. One must have the knowledge how to create, the skill or efficiency, the proficiency. One must have the skill, efficiency and knowledge to do anything. Therefore, here the knowledge required for creating this universe and also the skill and also the capacity to create everything, all this is important. But knowledge and the power or the capacity, all are required for creating anything. So whether a carpenter who has to create a new furniture or a sculptor who has to create a new sculpture, they must already have the knowledge. The carpenter must have the knowledge of any furniture he wants to make. And he must have the skill also to make it. It's not just this knowledge. Knowledge must be with the skill. Even a sculptor, he must have the knowledge and the skill to create any sculpture. And any for carpenter can have the knowledge only of the carpentry, or a sculptor can have only knowledge of only sculpture. Like any manufacturer, any creator, any producer can have only the knowledge of the respective field. Nobody, all knowledge of everything is not possible. The goldsmith can have the knowledge and skill of converting the gold into ornaments. So the weaver can have his knowledge and skill to convert the yarn into fabric. So the pot maker can have the skill only in converting the knowledge and skill in converting the clay into pots or earthenwares. But to create the whole everything, even to create the so-called creators, relative creators, a pot maker is a relative creator of pots. A weaver is the relative creator of this fabric. Goldsmith is the relative creator of the ornaments. They're all creators in the respective relative field. They're all relative creators. But there's an absolute creator. The absolute creator is the creator of all these so-called creators. And the knowledge and the whole jagat, the whole cosmos, the only absolute creator of everything. There's a second creator other than Ishvara. The only creator of everything. Everything means the innumerable things is Ishvaraha Bhagavan. That is why we call him Bhagavan, one who is endowed with all knowledge. And one who is endowed with all strength, all skills, all efficiency, all strength. Therefore, one who alone deserves all fame. And therefore, one who has everything cannot have any passion for anything. The one who is of total dispassion. Therefore, the one who alone has the overlordship, that is Ishvara. For any creator of any given thing can have knowledge only in respective field, relative field. But one cannot have knowledge of everything. Whereas Bhagavan Ishvara is the only absolute creator of the entire universe. Therefore, the knowledge of Ishvara, the skill and efficiency of Ishvara must be total, complete. There is expression, ghatasya karta, ghatakarta. Patasya karta, patakarta. So, grihasya karta, grihakarta. So, ghatakarta must have ghatajnanam. Patakarta must have patajnanam. Patakarta means the weaver must have knowledge of how to convert the yarn into fabric. Ghatakarta, the pot maker, must have knowledge of pot. Where sarvasya karta, what of sarvajnaha? Ghatakarta, ghatajnaha. Ghatakarta has ghatajnanam. Patakarta has patajnanam. Now, sarvasya karta has sarvajnanam, sarvam jnanam. Therefore, Ishvara is what? Sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha. Therefore, it's always said, all knowledge, no knowledge is created newly, freshly. Please take it very, make it very clear. Remember this, no knowledge of anything is newly created, newly, freshly created, which means knowledge is not at all created. All knowledge required for bringing anything into existence newly, okay? To bring anything into existence newly, all knowledge that is required is already there. All knowledge is there means all knowledge required for creating anything in the form of any possibility is always there. Never was there a time when knowledge was, all knowledge was not there. Therefore, all possibilities to bring anything newly into existence are already there in the form of all knowledge and skill. Therefore, nobody can create new knowledge. Whenever a new fact is discovered, something newly people invent, they discover. When they only discover what is already there. That is why if somebody asks, what is knowledge? The definition must be given. Discovery of what is already is knowledge. Discovery of what is already is knowledge. And converting that knowledge, and if either making the best use of the knowledge is technology. If you are able to make use of the knowledge or what you have discovered, then that is technology. So what is science? So discovery of what is already, what is science, and making use of what has been discovered is technology. Therefore, whichever scientist, whoever has already discovered, or whichever scientist is still working to discover some new things, and even the future scientists for going to come out with new facts, they can explore and explore and explore, and they can always discover new facts. Innumerable, countless facts can be discovered even in future. But whatever is going to be discovered, then nothing is newly created. There's only discovery of what is already there is science. So even in future, in the past, in the present, and the future, whatever has been discovered, whatever is being discovered, what is going to be discovered, all discoveries are already there. Only thing is, the question of being, everything remains covered, and what remains covered is discovered. Therefore, not newly created. Therefore, and the source of all knowledge is Ishvara. Therefore, is a Ishvara is Sarvajna. So everything already exists in potential form. And where does this all knowledge exist already? Where does everything exist? Where does everything exist? Okay. Everything exists in the mind of Bhagavan. The whole jagat, what has been discovered, what was discovered, what is being discovered, what is going to be discovered, even in future and future, what is going to be discovered, everything is already there potentially in the mind of Bhagavan, mind of Ishvara. And my Ishvara's mind is said to be total mind, the cosmic mind. So Ishvara, who is endowed with this cosmic mind, and where everything remains unmanifest, undifferentiated, everything is already in potential form, from where everything becomes manifest, is said to be Sarvajna. Sarvajna. And here, This Ishvara is total knowledge. Total knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Therefore, this total knowledge alone is again divided. Total knowledge, the entirety of knowledge manifest alone is further divided into two, as Paravidya and Aparavidya. So Paravidya is nothing but knowledge of the source of knowledge. Paravidya is the knowledge of the source of knowledge. Aparavidya is the knowledge of the effect. Knowledge of the cause is Paravidya. Knowledge of effect is Aparavidya. Knowledge of the cause is Paravidya. Knowledge of effect is Aparavidya. Knowledge of the source of manifestation is Paravidya. Knowledge of the manifestation is Aparavidya. And we say, and the knowledge of the cause is free from branches. Knowledge of the cause has no branches. Why knowledge of the cause has no branches? Because the cause is one, secondless, non-dual. Therefore, the knowledge of the cause is always one. It doesn't have many branches. Whereas the knowledge of the effect as branches, because the effects, the products are innumerable, countless. That's why we can say there's so many, many, many departments. In every field, there's so many departments. And in every branch, again, further sub-branches. Therefore, so many, that is why you have to science. You science physical science and biology. You have to biology, geology, you can say geology and botany, then chemistry and physics, then mathematics. Then we can have now hundreds, umpteen number of branches. All these divisions are possible, different departments are possible. Now the new universities give new hundreds of courses. Hundreds of new courses. And new departments, new branches all come under only Aparavidya. See, further elaboration of the same field, different fields, it's all Aparavidya. Whereas Paravidya is only of the only reality. Knowledge of the only reality is knowledge of the cause. Knowledge of the cause is one, it is Paravidya. And if you see, with reference to this Paravidya, knowledge of the total, okay, knowledge of the total, all knowledge, the source of all knowledge. With reference to this Paravidya, we have to say who is all-knowing, who is omniscient. Bhagavan Ishwaraha Yi Sarvajnaha. With reference to Paravidya, Bhagavan is Sarvajnaha. And with reference to Aparavidya also, who has all knowledge of all different fields? Bhagavan. For Bhagavan is the all-knowing, omniscient. Ishvara is all-knowing, omniscient. Therefore, the one who has the knowledge of everything, and that Ishvara, Bhagavan, is given two qualifications. As Sarvajna, Bhagavan is given the qualification of Sarvajna as the only one who has knowledge of the cause. The one who has knowledge of the cause, one who has the knowledge of the cause is said to be Sarvajna. And one who has the knowledge of the innumerable, countless forms, names and functions which constitute the cause effect, the universe. One who has knowledge of the effect also, knowledge of the effect is called Sarvavid. Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, from the standpoint of the knowledge of the universe, the effect, Ishvara is called Sarvavit. The standpoint of the knowledge of the cause, Ishvara is said to be Sarvajna. That one who has knowledge of the cause, or who has knowledge of the effect also. Bhagavan is both. All knowledge. Now, when the human beings, when they're given to the discipline of Karma Yoga, they become mentally prepared, then they go to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, then they attain Jnanam. When they attain Jnanam, what Jnanam they attain? Any human being can ultimately, any human being is supposed to ultimately attain the knowledge of the absolute reality, the cause of the universe. A human being is supposed to attain the knowledge of the cause. So human being can have only knowledge of the cause, means the karanam the human being can understand. How? By going through any Upanishad, by studying any Upanishad systematically with the help of the teacher, the student can, any Vedanta student can attain the knowledge of the cause. It means one can attain the Paravidya. Attain Paravidya. Any student can have very little knowledge of the Aparavidya also. If when a Vedanta student or any wise person who has the knowledge of the cause, any wise person, Jnani, who attains the knowledge of the reality, which is looked upon as the cause of the whole, is also said to be Sarvajna. A wise person also is said to be Sarvajna. Why? Because a wise person can have the attain knowledge of the cause. wise person can attain the knowledge of the cause means wise person can attain the knowledge of the absolute reality. Obtaining as one's own self, one can discover the reality of the whole, obtaining as the reality of I, the truth of I. You can discover I, the self, am consciousness, Brahma, aham Brahma, asmi. A person who has discovered this fact of one's own self being non-different from Brahma, one who can claim the consciousness Brahman as the self, one who can say aham Brahma asmi, that wise person also is said to be sarvajnaha. Why? Because he has the knowledge of the source of manifestation. So knowing the source of the manifestation, knowing this only truth of everything is as good as knowing everything. Even though the wise person may not have knowledge of everything, but he can have not knowing the truth of everything is as good as knowing the truth of everything, knowing everything. So the wise person can have only karana jnanam, not javtikas. Whereas any human being can attain the knowledge of the self, thereby he can claim the qualification of being the sarvajna, because he has the knowledge of the cause of the whole. But no human being can ever become the all-knowing like Ishvara. Why? Because one cannot become sarvavit. Sarvavetrutva means having the status of being the knower of the entirety of the effects. That is not possible. So Ishvara is known as Sarvajnahan Sarvavit, the knower of the whole from the standpoint of the cause, and Ishvara is the knower of the whole from the standpoint of the effect also. So Ishvara has knowledge, the total knowledge of Paravidya, Ishvara has total knowledge of Aparavidya also. Therefore, Ishvara is both Sarvajna and Sarvavit. Whereas a human being can only become Sarvajna, not Sarvavit. But a human being need not become Sarvavit, cannot become Sarvavit. Why a human being cannot become Sarvavit? You cannot know everything. Why? Because you have a limited Upadhi. Upadhi, the instruments of knowledge you are blessed with is very, very limited. Therefore, you can never have the status of being the Sarvavit, all-knowing. You become Sarvavit. One cannot become or need not become Sarvavit. Why one need not become Sarvavit? One cannot become Sarvavit. But one can become Sarvajnaha. One has to become Sarvajnaha. One must become Sarvajnaha. Why? Because what makes a human being Sarvajnaha is the knowledge of the Paravidya. Okay. One can attain Paravidya. One can attain the knowledge of the absolute reality, the only truth of the whole, obtaining as one's own self. This knowledge is a must. This knowledge of the Paravidya is possible. Aparavidya in its entirety is not possible for a human being. Therefore, he cannot become Sarvavit. But Paravidya alone is required for Jnana, required for the attainment of Moksha. Paravidya alone is enough for the attainment of Moksha. Because in the Paravidya, if a person attains, then he can resolve all his common human fundamental problems. Thereby he can have a different perspective of the self and the world. Then he can resolve all the samsara caused by delusion, which was caused by ignorance. This ignorance can be resolved. Therefore, mokshadam jnanam, the knowledge which alone can liberate a human being from bondage is the knowledge of parambrahma, which is paravidya. Therefore, a human being need not become sarvavidya, cannot become sarvavidya. But human being has to become sarvajna by knowing Brahman. So, yes, sarvajna, sarvavidya. So, Bhagavan is the all-knowing, omniscient, as the knower of paravidya, as the one, as a source paravidya. And Ishvara is this omniscient, all-knowing, sarvavid, from the standpoint of aparavidya also. And now, yasya tapaha jnanamayam. Yasya tapaha jnanamayam. Are you listening? Yasya tapaha jnanamayam. See, what is tapas? Bhagavan's tapas is in the form of knowledge. There's no other tapas. The word tapas literally means penance. The word tapas literally means penance, literally means austerity. But here, the word tapas should be taken as, what is tapas? Jnanam is tapas. Ishvara's tapas is nothing but jnanam. It means Bhagavan, there's a visualization of the whole jagat. Visualization of the entirety of the cosmos before its creation. Okay? But it seems there's a visualization of the whole cosmos, the entirety of the beings of the universe before its creation. And this visualization on the part of Ishvara alone is said to be tapas. Visualization of the whole jagat before its creation is said to be Bhagavan's tapas. Bhagavan's penance, not real penance, but it is like penance. It is as though penance, as though Bhagavan's tapas. See, before making something, you always think. Before doing something, you always think. Especially before creating something, you always think. What should I put? How should I fix, etc. You think. Similarly, Ishvara also had tapas. What was tapas? Visualized. Ishvara visualized before creating, before bringing the universe into manifestation, before producing this universe. So tapas is jnanamayam tapaha, means visualizing the whole jagat is tapas. And here we must remember why specifically the Shastram recommends the word visualization. The English word visualization is what we should take it. Why specifically we use this term visualization or visualizing, which is actually Bhagavan's tapas. This specific term visualization is used because nothing in this creation is suddenly brought into existence. as a random process. If whatever comes into existence, anything and everything which comes into existence is within the realm of law and order. Everything happens, everything originates, everything comes into existence in conformity with the law, according to the law and order. Therefore, any discipline we study is also, nothing is associated with the law. The law is involved in any discipline of any branch of any knowledge. Therefore, there is law. Law is involved behind everything. Laws govern every function. There's a law governs every function. Law governs every action. Law governs every existence. Law governs any experience. The pain, pleasure, something comes, a sprout comes, okay? Something works. Law governs everything. It means anything and everything comes into existence as per the law. As per the law means there's an order involved. There's a law and order. There's an order involved in everything. Therefore, nothing can happen accidentally. Nothing can happen accidentally. Whatever happens is an incident happening according to the law. Nothing happens accidentally. Whatever happens is an incident happening according to a specific law. Therefore, in this whole jagat, nothing happens just like that. Whatever happens, there is a reason behind it. There's a law involved. There's an order involved. Therefore, Swamiji, Pooja Swamiji used to say this. You go out of the house, I don't want it to happen. Now, that is why, as a Vedanta, from the standpoint of the Vedanta Shastram, if you understand everything and anything happens according to the law, means there's no accident at all. Everything is an incident which happens in conformity with the law and order means. And what about the corona? It has its own place. Then people who become the victims, including us, we don't know what Bhagavan's plans are. There is an order involved. But every problem will have a solution also. But even all vaccinations and the best medicines, better medicines, or something, everything also will happen in due course of time. Again, already the medicine also is already there. Only the question of time, discovery takes time. The question of time, it's already there. It has to be discovered. It need not be created newly. So you leave the house, you don't know where will you end up. Somebody goes out and then happens to meet an accident. Something happens. Wrong things happen also. Which means, I'm not saying accident should happen. Pooja Swamiji used to say this. Any accident, what we think suddenly happened, unexpectedly happened. No, even the so-called disorder is not outside of the order. The disorder is not outside of the order, which means even accident also is an incident, which is within the realm of an order, law. What caused that? Adrishtam, the Parabdha, we do not know. There is a cause which we call Parabdha, but we do not know exactly what it is. Adrishtam, we say. Unknown cause, unseen cause is there. There is unseen cause, unknown cause. Therefore, so if it happened within the realm of order, means everything is appropriate incident happening in appropriate time according to appropriate law. Okay, now therefore the whole jagat is not something. Bishop, the entirety of the universe is properly brought into existent one, having an orderly production. The whole jagat is an orderly protection. But Ishvara visualizes all the laws involved in the universe. All the laws for creating this universe. Of course, any scientist can talk about the laws. But Shastram discusses a law. That law is known as universal natural moral law. Universal natural moral law. And here, this universal natural moral law and order, the other way said to be, law of action. The universal natural moral law and order alone is otherwise said to be law of action. The law of action involves punyam and papam. Therefore, the creation of the universe, creation of the world is based on this punyam and papam. And punyam and papam must be taken into account when we think of the creation of the universe. Creation of the universe means even the creation, with the birth also. Creation is creation of individual beings also. Good body, healthy body, good looking body, healthy body, intelligent mind, calm, intelligent mind. All these presuppose what? Punyam. And sometimes, you know, you see many people having their handicap and illnesses, diseases, sickness, and very unhealthy mind, dull mind. All these things presuppose the papam, punya papam. That is why even good looks is looked upon as good health is shrihi. Shrihi, the word shrihi means wealth. Wealth is not just in counting the money. Of course, money is wealth, the shrihi. Even suppose somebody has a pleasant personality, cheerful personality, not that sharp nose and all that, cheerful personality, then that is shrihi. Bright mind, shrihi. It's all wealth. Because all being in conformity with one's punya papa. Anyway, so what I wanted to say. Again, punya papams are one's own earnings. How in keeping conformity on person's actions, The actions are in conformity with one's making use of one's free will. Knowledge of right and wrong. If a person makes use of the free will and the knowledge of right and wrong, then if his actions are governed by dharma, he can earn punya. And if a person is a slave of his desires, and he can abuse his will means, and he can go against dharma, he can earn papa. Therefore, when you say it's all within the realm of order, that's also within the realm of order. So Bhagavan brings his entire universe into existence. Means Bhagavan takes care of, all the laws associated with the physical world. Bhagavan takes care of all the moral laws also in terms of punya papa. So visualizing all these laws pertaining to the physical world, visualizing all the moral laws in terms of punya, based on punya papa, in terms of punya papa, the visualizing all of them is possible, we say, because Bhagavan also must have them. How can Bhagavan visualize if Bhagavan does not have the mind? So Bhagavan has his mind. If Bhagavan visualizes all the laws associated with the physical world, I mean physical laws, and law associated with the also the moral laws involving punya papa. And the mind of Bhagavan is nothing but Maya. So Maya is the mind of Bhagavan. So Bhagavan visualizes the whole with the help of Maya or through Maya. When you say Bhagavan has this mind, Bhagavan, you like Maya is like Bhagavan's mind, the way Bhagavan visualizes means we should not literally take it and imagine that Bhagavan also has a physical body. And once you think Bhagavan has a physical body, we should not think that Bhagavan is also located in a given place. No. Therefore, we should not entertain any such wrong thinking. So before everything came into existence, Bhagavan visualized means definitely there cannot be a physical body. There cannot be location. Before anything, location also is a space also has to come into existence. Before Bhagavan, before everything became manifest, before the creation of the universe, there can't be anything, including the space. Therefore, visualization here implies the word, the meaning of the word tapas. The visualization means, what visualization implies is that there is gradual, slow evolution of everything in conformity with order, law and order. So gradual evolution of everything in within the realm of law and order alone is said to be, is implied by the expression visualization. And this gradual evolution of everything in conformity with physical laws as well as the moral laws is said to be visualization. And here, there is and source of everything is here consciousness. The source of Ishvara means we say consciousness. So consciousness is the source behind everything, because of the presence of which evolution is possible, visualization is possible, and everything coming into existence is possible, manifestation is possible. Without the consciousness, nothing, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge, consciousness, without which matter cannot even have the status of being existent. And where's the question of the evolution of everything? Even though modern science does not count the consciousness. Okay. Therefore, consciousness is there. Consciousness has been there, is there always, beginninglessly. And it is this consciousness alone, known as Chaitanyam or Chit in Sanskritam, which alone is otherwise looked upon as Ishvara. So Ishvara is a qualification attributed to the very consciousness. Therefore, and this consciousness is not creation. Consciousness is not the created. The whole creation is consciousness. Even the entire creation is manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of pure knowledge. Before the whole universe became manifest, there was consciousness. How was the consciousness? Consciousness was there with its power of knowing unmanifest. Consciousness was there with this power of being conscious unmanifest. And this consciousness with the, when the consciousness alone was with its power unmanifest, the unmanifest power is said to be given the name, technical title, Maya. And the consciousness with this unmanifest power alone is said to be Antaryamishvaraha. Antaryamishvaraha. Therefore, we have to first remember consciousness. Secondly, what we need to remember is the law of action. So consciousness, which is forgotten by scientists, and law of action, if both these factors together remind us of Ishvara. So jnanamayam tapaha. So Bhagavan's tapas is what? Jnanamayam tapas. Therefore, from that Ishvara, that Ishvara who is of essentially of the nature of consciousness with this unmanifest power called Maya, okay, the whole universe has become manifest, means what is this? Universe with Nama, Rupam, Annam. Ishvara, who is Ishvara now? Consciousness with this unmanifest power, otherwise called Maya, is Ishvara. From that Ishvara, you say what now? Etat Brahma. So, please make a note, the word Brahma, Etat Brahma means this mind. The word Brahma means the cosmic mind. Etat Brahma means this is Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Etat Brahma means Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma here means what? In this context, the cosmic mind. The cosmic mind is otherwise said to be Hiranyagarbha. The cosmic mind is Hiranyagarbha. And then from this Hiranyagarbha, later on, we can say all forms and names. Namarupam annam cha jayate. Names and forms. Therefore, whatever is in this universe, any object in this universe, anything exists in this universe is nothing but a form with the name. A form with the name. Subtle form or gross form, whatever is the form, form with the name. So what the creation is only of the forms and names. And they're also not created. Manifestation is only of the forms and names. Forms and names, the manifestation of forms and names with their functions or purposes alone is said to be creation. Which means the substance, there's no creation of the substance. There is no creation of the substance. There's no creation of even the forms and names. There's only unmanifest forms, names and functions. Becoming manifest alone is said to be creation. So substance is not created. Therefore, the universe is not a substance. The universe does not have substantiality of its own. The world does not have substantiality of its own. Because there's no substance created. Even nothing is created. Therefore, what is brought into manifestation is unmanifest forms, names and functions alone are brought into manifestation. Is bringing the unmanifest forms, names and functions into manifestation alone is said to be creation. There's no creation of substance. There's no creation of forms, names and functions also. But what is creation then? Bringing the unmanifest forms, names and functions into manifestation is creation. Exactly like a carpenter does not create the wood, does not create the chair, form and name chair also. Because chair, if a carpenter makes a chair out of wood, the form chair, the name chair, the purpose which serves, all three are already unmanifest in the wood. The carpenter uses his knowledge and skill to bring the unmanifest form, name and function into manifestation. The goldsmith takes the gold. He does not create the gold. Does not create the form, name and function called bangle or chain. He only brings the already existing unmanifest form, name and function in terms of bangle or chain or ring into manifestation. This is an amazing teaching, okay? Bringing the substance is not created. Forms, names and functions are also not created. What is, why then there's a creator? He's given the name creator. Okay, he brings the unmanifest forms, names and functions into manifestation. That's why intelligent cause. Therefore, he said, tasmat namarupam annam cha jayate. Not only forms and names. What about annam? Annam adyate iti annam. That which is taken in is annam. Means food. Not only the food that is eaten, anything which is taken in through sense organs, the form and color taken in through your eyes, the sound taken in through your ears, anything which is taken in is annam. So, annam literally means food. Annam also means all objects of experience which are perceived and taken to your mind, and then that we are able to experience. So, nama rupam, annam. The food is also, food also comes into manifestation. Without which we cannot live our lives. Therefore, the entirety of the cosmos is nothing but Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The consciousness with this unmanifested power is Ishvara. When the Ishvara becomes manifest, what is it now? Ishvara is consciousness with Maya is Ishvara. And when this Maya undergoes a change, Maya becomes what? Maya manifest is what? Maya is nothing but unmanifest forms, names and functions. When the forms, names and functions become manifest, you can say what? Same consciousness with the forms, name, manifest forms, names and functions is each manifestation of Ishvara. So Ishvara with form, manifest forms, names and functions constitute the universe. Ishvara with unmanifest forms, names and functions is what? With the Maya. Therefore, the universe does not have substantiality of its own. Universe is not a substance. Universe is not a substance. Bhagavan is the only substance. And who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is consciousness with its unmanifested power. And consciousness manifest power is what? The whole jagat. When the power of consciousness is manifest, we look at the whole cosmos as Ishvara. And this understanding of the fact that there is no God, Ishvara, Bhagavan, other than the consciousness with its unmanifest power. Ishvara is a qualification attributed to this only reality, consciousness with its power. And universe is not a substance. And Bhagavan is the only substance. Ishvara is the only substance. And this understanding of this fact alone is known as Paravidya or Param Jnanam. Paravidya, Param Jnanam. Therefore, this is the conclusion. So, this teacher, Angiras. Now, remember Shaunaka. Shaunaka asked the question, Kasmin Vijnate Sarvam Vijnatam Bhavati. For the one question, the teacher, Angiras, has given elaborate answer. And he said, Sa Paravidya Yaya Aksharam Adhigamyate. Paravidya is that by which the imperishable reality is understood. That is Paravidya. So, Angiras first explained Paravidya briefly. Essentially, in fact, then you can see how in the following lessons this Paravidya what has been briefly given. Paravidya has been briefly discussed in the first section, Prathama Khanda. The first section, Paravidya has been briefly discussed. And the same Paravidya, again the Aparavidya, these two, which have been briefly mentioned, is going to the Paravidya and Aparavidya will be elaborately discussed in the following sections. Following Mundaka, the following sections. So when this the para and aparavidya will be discussed elaborately, then we will have much clearer vision of the Upanishad. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. I think I have brought all the words gone carefully. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, yajnanamayam tapaha. Tasmat etad brahma. From that, sarvavite sarvajnaha, this mind, cosmic mind, it means the maya, which is not what you commit to existence, already there. And that manifestation alone becomes what? Nama rupam annam. Name and form, add the word function. Nama rupa karma, I always add. Then annam means food. Cha jayate. Because once the living beings come into existence, and for their survival, food also is important. Therefore, even food also is not from elsewhere, anywhere else. It's all from Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Everything is ultimately Brahma. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, yajnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetit brahma nama. Rupamannam cha jayate. Okay, we'll see the we have to move on to the next section. Prathama Mundaka Advitiya Khandaha. So 9 mantras form the first section, we go on the second section of the first mandaka. And as I said already, we are going to see the elaboration of both Paravidya and Aparavidya in the sections. Let me read the mantra once and stop. We'll do next class. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayaha yanya pasyan. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayaha yani pashyanya pashyan tani tretayam bahudha santatani tanya charatha niyatam satyakamaha yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayav kavayo kavayo yanya pashyan mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pashyan tanidretayam bahudha santatani tanya charathaniyatam satyakamaha yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. I want all of you to memorize the mantras. Okay, every class will read now 9 mantras. You have to memorize. Don't worry about the 10th mantra. In the first mantra, the next section. The first section mantra should go get into your house, mind. Okay, thoroughly. We'll reveal. Now I make it a point to help memorize the mantras. Every class will begin. The chanting will not take very long. Only 5 minutes. So we'll chant every class so that you can memorize the mantras. Mantras memorized. Meanings also will go to your head. Any questions? Yes.
Namaste, Swamini, Krishan.
Yeah.
Hiya. I found it really interesting what you said about before about creation, that creation presupposes knowledge.
Yeah.
So basically, there's nothing new that comes into existence. So there's a field of knowledge that's waiting to be discovered.
Yes.
I was just wondering, you know, the discovery. So is discovery the right word? Because like someone who discovers something, does that imply doership? Is it more revelation? Because I feel like when I have ideas come into my head, I don't feel like I'm discovering them. I feel like they're revealed to me or like anything. Like, is it more of a
revelation? You can say when the facts revealed to you are very, very subtle, you get revelation, called revelation. What you discuss within the realm of objective universe, you call it discovery.
Okay. I just thought discovery implies doership.
It revealed it to you, but still, what is not perceptible, some subtle facts become revealed to you, what is not perceptible. Imperceptible facts become revealed to you. Then it is revelation. That's why Pujaswami used to give, even say, when you can say Einstein is like a rishi. Whoever has these subtle facts revealed to them are rishis. Of course, like a rishi, not exaggerated, like a rishi we say. Because it involves a lot of tapas. One must have given the worked mentally, isn't it? A lot of hard working voice involved. Nothing happens overnight. See, just to say how beautiful tapas is, some Upanishad uses the word tapas. And the tapas actually implies visualization. Bhagavan doesn't sit and visualize like us. The visualization implies actually how everything gradually evolves in conformity with the law and order. That is why when you understand each, that's why understanding Vedic concept of Bhagavan is a beautiful thing. That is where you can just accept whatever life that's ordained for me, I can accept without any questioning. And I can resolve my jealousy and anger also seeing others having any other life which is not possible for me. Nothing like Bhagavan understanding concept of Vedic concept of Bhagavan. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.